Scripture reading this morning will be taken from the book of Psalms, chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. Psalm 1, 1 through 6. I'll be reading from the King James Version. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in this law he meditate both day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his seasons. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish.
It's good to be here this morning as we come to worship God in spirit and in truth. I do want to let you know that if you are visiting with us, we are indeed thankful and grateful for you being here, and hope, pray, and trust that something will be said that will encourage you in your spiritual walk, that it will encourage you to be a child of God, and encourage you to be more faithful as we travel along this busy road back to God. Psalm 1, powerful text. I want to start off with a few words before we get into the text. You know, trouble is all around us. Job would say, in the midst of all of the turmoil that he was going through, as he was talking to his three friends, man born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Job 14:1. And we know that pain and misfortune permeates our land. Chaos and unrest is all around us. And it's a good thing and a great thing to know that our Lord, Jesus the Christ, offers rest. You remember on one occasion in Matthew 11 when Jesus was speaking, he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest." It's a powerful passage there. That there is rest that we go to when we go to Jesus. But I'm reminded of the Hebrews writer in Hebrews chapter 4 when he was encouraging those brethren who were leaving the faith and going back into Judaism. And he said that we are going toward a rest. Going toward a rest. Which meant that the rest is not here. The rest is beyond the blue. But then I'm reminded of what Jesus, as he was talking to John in Revelation 14 in verse number 13, he said, "Right, blessed are the dead that dieth in the Lord, yea, they that rest from their labors." You know, I think about the book of Psalms, and I consider this great book. It starts off with the blessed man, and it ends with an explosion of praise, Psalm 150. I want us to, for a few minutes, just to talk about finding rest in the Psalms. Finding rest in the Psalms. People are looking for rest in so many different places. But I guarantee you, if we would take our time and read the Psalms, we'll find some great rest. It doesn't matter about the chaos and the unrest that is around us, or even in our own minds at times. There's something about the Psalms that gives us great rest. Let's look at the text just for a few minutes. And as we're looking at the text, I want you to consider these things. Seven writers wrote the book of Psalms. You have men like Moses and Solomon. You have men like Asaph and the sons of Korah, Ethan and Heman, the Ezrahite. You have different men that wrote the Psalms. And how appropriate for it to begin with, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." How appropriate is it to start that way? When we consider this great man, notice what this great man is doing. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly," the wisdom of the ungodly, "nor standeth in the way of sinners, Notice he's stationary with those who are opposed to God. Notice sitting in the seat of the scornful. You notice he is sitting down with those who mock God. Blessed is a man who doesn't do this. That's a blessed man. If we was to just give a few pointers right here and give an invitation, I would say this. If we were to apply just these three things in our lives, we'll be on our way to heaven. And the reason why is because this particular man has something going on in his mind, in his life. Notice, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate. He talks to himself day and night. The idea there is the chewing of the cud. As he is reading Brother Pope Joy, he's thinking about it, and then he spits it out, and he goes back and he gets it again. But then notice what he says in verse number 3, and I believe that you'll find great comfort in this text. And he shall be like a tree. Notice the simile there, like a tree. The psalmist is not calling himself a tree. The psalmist is saying that this man shall be like a tree. Now notice the key word here, friends, planted. The Hebrew brings out more of a graphic idea. The graphic idea that the Hebrew brings out is he is transplanted. He is, with effort, brought out of his place and placed in a strategic area where he or she can grow. Isn't that beautiful? You ought to receive great comfort in knowing that this particular man, he's not just put in a place on accident. I think about being in Christ and how those of us who have been baptized into Christ have been strategically transplanted into his son, where we can receive the nourishment, where we can receive the word of God, where we can receive the encouragement in order to grow. Notice what he goes on to say. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in his season. Now, you'll appreciate this point too. Y'all give me a few minutes to develop this particular point. In the book of Revelation, chapter 22, turn your Bibles there as we develop this point for more clarity and to see that this is not a physical point that God is making, yea, a spiritual. God is making a spiritual point with the psalmist. And here we see in Revelation 22, at the end of all things. In Revelation 20, 11 through 15, you have the judgment scene. In Revelation 21, you have the church glorified. In Revelation 22, we're in heaven. And notice what takes place. And he, this is John speaking, showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Now think about that in respect to Psalm 1. In respect to finding rest in the Psalms. Here the psalmist would say, and we'll come back to Revelation 22 here in a second. The psalmist would say that he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaves also shall not wither, meaning dry up, and whatever he does shall prosper. We see this on the physical side of life, but then we got something to look forward on the eternal side of life. And that God is giving us the things that we need on this time side in order for us to grow and not dry up. And God is going to give us what we need on the other time side, which is no time at all because it's eternal, Psalm 90. And we're not going to dry up spiritually. That's encouraging. And the reason why it's encouraging, notice what he goes on to say in verse number 3. And there shall be no more curse, that's death, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him, that's us. And they shall see his face. We will see the face of God one day. And his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Notice the clarity, and notice the explanation given by John, and notice how we can even apply that to the Psalms. And friends, the question we have to ask ourselves is this. Will we allow ourselves to be transplanted from one area to the other? Will we allow ourselves to be like this man here in Psalm 1, the blessed man? Friends, if you truly want to continue to be blessed, we have to continue to be like this man. Go back to Psalm 1 and notice what the Bible there says. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff, which the wind driveth away. The idea there, when you consider a chaff, that's the shell of maybe some type of seed. And they would throw that chaff up in the air and the wind would drive it away. And that which had substance would fall to the ground. Well, friends, we don't want to be like chaff. We want to have substance because we are of substance, because we are in Christ. Notice verse 5. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 19, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Friends, when we consider finding rest in the Psalms, I want us to take notice of some Psalms that I believe will give us great encouragement this morning. I don't know everything that goes on in the lives of people, especially those of us who are here. There are different things going on in our lives as Christians. Some of us are struggling financially, socially, emotionally, spiritually. We're struggling in different ways. But as the children of God, friends, we have to be very careful that as we are walking this life and we're adhering to the gospel, the doctrine of Jesus Christ, that we also receive the encouragement that we need in order to stay founded and faithful to Almighty God. Turn to Psalm 3. In Psalm 3, it's interesting that the psalmist David would say something here. We can find rest in knowing that the Lord is our shield and he is the one that lifts up our heads. In Psalm 3, notice what the Bible says starting in verse 1. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine hand. It's interesting that that word, shield, is very powerful, and the psalmist, by inspiration, would use this word a plethora of times, many times. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 84. In Psalm 84, here, as we've continued to find rest in the Psalms, notice verse number 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. There's our word there. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walks uprightly. Friends, if we're walking uprightly, God takes care of us. And this is why we have to encourage one another to continue to walk uprightly, continue to walk according to the doctrine of Jesus Christ and never go to the right nor to the left of what God has taught in his word. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 16, there the Bible clearly teaches us that we ought to be putting on the shield of faith. What shield? What is the purpose of the shield? You probably have in your mind some big shield. but not according to the ancients of this particular time. It was actually, Brother Nate, a very small shield. They would use this small shield, Brother Popejoy, to use it to hit their enemy. Why? Because in hitting their enemy, they're not using their bare fist. That's interesting that God is the one that is our shield and we don't have to fight with our own fists. It's a powerful, powerful point. Find great rest in knowing that. That God is our shield. That if I stay behind the Word of God, if I stay behind His teaching, behind His truth, whether it is in my marriage, whether it is with child rearing, whether it's on the job, whether it is with my enemies, even in my own mind. And friends, we need to stay behind the shield. Let me give you a couple passages that will help us with that understanding. In 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse number 3 and verse number 31, here Samuel would say something very powerful as God being his shield. God is his shield. It's interesting that he himself wasn't his own shield, but God is his shield. And friends, we have to keep that in mind as well, that God should be our shield and not we ourselves. Look at Psalm 7 and look at verse number 10, the final verse under this particular point. In Psalm 7 in verse number 10, notice what the psalmist here has to say. This is David again. He says, my defense, there's our word right there, shield, is of God, which saveth the upright in heart. Finding rest in the Psalms ought to teach us that God is my defense. Why is it sometimes that we always have to seek to defend ourselves? You know, if we stand behind God's truth, and I'm not just talking about in spiritual matters, but in just matters of morality, matters of uprightness. If I make a mistake, I make it right. If I make it right, then I move on. If people don't want to forgive me, that's their problem. And you ponder that for a second. Because sometimes we handcuff ourselves because people don't want to release us. I know one thing, God is faithful and just to forgive, which means that when I ask him for forgiveness and I take care of the repentance as far as it goes out, then God says, I remove the handcuffs. I just helped somebody. Number two, finding rest in the Psalms means that I find rest with a heart of integrity. Oh, friends, notice the psalmist in Psalm 15. In Psalm 15, here, the psalmist has something very powerful for us to say, for us to understand and to apply to our lives. You realize how difficult it is to find rest with a heart that is defiled, that's not thinking according to the will and the purpose of God. But here the psalmist would say, Brother Brian, notice, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Listen to this. He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness. You could put it in your Bible, Acts 10:35, right there. Who does God, if I can use this phraseology, who does God look at? He look at those who walk uprightly and work righteousness and speak a truth in his heart. Can I just make this one point? The more that I thought about this, Proverbs 8:8 came to mind as it relates to wisdom and how there is no crookedness nor perversity in wisdom. None. Now, why do we make that point? The psalmist, as it relates to the holy hill of God, the presence of God, what will it take for me to be in God's presence? It requires me to be upright and holy, honest, integrity. I'm doing what is right. Who cares who's watching? Right? Friends, this ought to help us even in our own personal lives. And as Christians, we have so many things that's going on around us. We have individuals who are struggling with sexual sin. We have individuals who are struggling with financial sin. We have individuals who are struggling all over because of the secrecies of life. But here, friends, God wants us to come into his holy hill and to remain in there, which requires me, Proverbs 4 and verse 23, guard thy heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Why is that important? It's important because the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. God desires for us to be just like Him, holy. Be ye holy, even as I am holy. Friends, integrity means that I'm not cheating on my taxes. Integrity means that when I get too much change, I give the clerk back the 5 cents. Amen. It's just 5 cents. But what if that was the last opportunity for that clerk to come up short in her tray? You probably could have saved her job because of your integrity. Right? And sometimes we think that as a people, I'm not talking about us as Christians, but as a people, and we're around them all of the time. Well, it's just a little white lie. No, a lie is a lie. So here, notice the psalmist. And friends, if you truly want to have rest, and if you want to have a clear conscience, and really, that's what Christianity is about. Having a clear conscience towards God. First Peter chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Notice what he says here. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is condemned, but he honoreth them that feareth the Lord. Notice that phraseology. I believe it's some 16 times in the book of Proverbs and Psalms alone. It could be more if I'm not mistaken. That the phraseology, the fear of the Lord, it saturates the book of wisdoms. The fear of the Lord. The respect of the Lord. And the more that I respect God, the more I do what He says. I'm not looking for loopholes to try to get around what God says. I want to find rest. I want to be able to lay my head on a pillow at night and know. And you know what causes more stress in the lives of people? Guilty consciences. But God takes care of that, and we can have rest in the Psalms. Notice, friends, when we practice righteousness, we are righteous. 1 John 3 and verse number 7. And just as He is righteous, God desires for us to be righteous because He has made us upright. 2 Ecclesiastes 7 verse 29. We are a people who work righteousness in our lives. Hebrews chapter 10 and Acts chapter 10 and verse number 35. We speak truth in our hearts. But notice Micah. In Micah 6 and verse number 8. Notice the book of Micah. I want us to take notice of that because I believe you'll find great comfort in this particular passage. It's right after the book of Jonah. Jonah, Micah. All right? In the book of Micah, chapter 6 and verse number 8, what does the Lord require? What is the Lord looking for? Notice what the Bible says. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. And the context of the book of Micah is that the people of God were not acting justly. Then they were not loving mercy. You know what it means to love mercy? Someone does you wrong and you say, don't worry about it. It's okay. Oh, how many marriages would be stronger if we would just leave stuff alone? How many relationships in the church would be mended? How many preachers would not have to leave a local work if brethren have just more mercy upon one another? God is always looking for an opportunity to let folk off. Wow, now think about that. God says, I want to let you off. I can prove it. How? I'm going to send my son. Titus 3 and verse number 5, according to His mercy, He saves us. God is looking for opportunities to let people off. God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Sounds like mercy. Oh, friends. And not only did Micah say mercy, but he says love mercy. Oh, I love my house. I love my wife. I love my children. I love, but this is a different type of love. Love mercy. Love kindness. Love loving kindness. Love long suffering. Finding rest in the Psalms. Go to Psalm 15 and look at verse number 5. Let's go back there real quick. Powerful psalm. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor take reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things, notice, shall never be moved. Friends, to find rest in the Psalms teaches us that we're going to be a stable people. And one thing that the church needs more of is stability. Need more stability as it relates to the man of the home. More stability as it relates to the wife or the woman of the home. Leaders in the Lord's church, elders and deacons and ministers. Not being men who don't know what they're saying nor what they are affirming. 1 Timothy 1 and verse number 7. The Bible leaves us great insight on how we can preach the truth and know the truth, and we can find true rest in Jesus Christ. Last but definitely not least, I have a barrage of passages to give you. Finding rest in the Psalms requires prayer. It requires our relationship with God to lead the pages of inspiration and to also put us on our knees, proverbially. When is the last time that you just had a long prayer with God? In Psalm 17, in verse number 1, there the psalmist says that our prayers ought to be from an honest heart. Hear the right, O Lord, attend unto my cry, give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out from feigned lips. Honest. If we're going to come into the holy hills of God, let's remain honest with God. Let's tell Him the things that are on our heart. And if it's sin, let's confess it to God. He's faithful and just. If we want to give Him thanks and glory and praise, let's do that. Why? Because it is just as proper and scriptural and commanded to give God thanks than it is to take the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. Friends, we are a balanced people. In Psalm 25 and verse number 1, our prayers ought to come from a lifted up soul. Every now and then we get down. We get discouraged. But one thing that the pulpit is responsible for, as Paul told Timothy, he told him to reprove, to rebuke, here it is, Brother Brian, and exhort. That's encourage. It is not my responsibility to beat you over the head with the word of God every Lord's day. It is my responsibility to do it every now and then. Y'all smile. But my job is to encourage you to fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. You can do it. We can do it. And we have to do it together. But we have to do it also with prayer. Notice Psalm 25 in verse number 1. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Someone needs to hear that. At times in life, we feel as if the enemy is overtaking us. He's triumphing. He's winning. But no, if I stay with God, I'll be all right. I'll be okay. Psalm 32. Notice what Psalm 32 says. Our prayers should be prayers that beg God for forgiveness. Finding rest means that I ask God to forgive me. And friends, there's not one person under the sound of my voice that don't need to ask God for forgiveness every now and then. Not one. All of us stand guilty of sin every now and then when it comes to Jehovah. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputed not iniquity, which means that God doesn't hold it against you. Can you imagine the God that sees all, hears all, says, I forgive all? Wow. All because I said, Father, I've sinned. And I'm asking you to forgive me. Notice what he says in verse 3. When I kept silent, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into a drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Friends, if you can't find rest in those passages, I don't know what you can find rest in. To know that I can go to God in whatever I have done, and Father, I have sinned against you, I am sorry, and God is saying I am faithful and just to forgive. Friends, we're not making that up. We're not smart enough to make that up. God himself is one who has his arms open and says, I couldn't wait for you to come back home. And now that you're back home, I have put you right where you were, back in safety. Look at Psalm 38. Psalm 38 and verse number 1, this gets gooder and gooder. Notice what he says as it relates to his prayer. His prayer should beg God not to notice, correct him in his anger. The last thing that I wanted when I was a kid was dad to have to come home and put that strap on me. I couldn't stand when mama used to say, boy, when your daddy get home, don't say that to me. You didn't already call him at work. Of course, I didn't say that to her, but I sure wanted to. But you know what? We shouldn't desire for God to be so upset with us, and that's when he chastens us. No, we want to come to God, Father, I am sorry. Okay, I'm merciful, but I still have to correct you. In Psalm 38, notice what the psalmist says. O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in your hot displeasure. For thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hands press me sore. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For mine iniquities are gone over my head as an heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. My wounds stick and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long, for my loins are filled with the loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. You go back and you read the rest of that. Here you have a man that's crying out to God, Father, forgive me, but don't correct me when you're mad. Psalm 46, I'll end with this. Brother Rick, we need to hear lessons like this every now and then. It'll help us be better fathers. Maybe your children have already left the house. You can be a better father now. So you can't redo what you did. You can make better what was. That don't sound right, but sound right. Friend, the Bible is right. And we need that encouragement. In Psalm 46, let me make this point real quick. Young fathers, you got one opportunity to really get it right. One. Spend time making it right. Be strategic. Do it right. Listen. Be an example. Don't be 20 years after your kids grown and gone. It's like, man, I wish I would have. If you do say that, make it as minimum as possible. Spend time and make time and be the father you need to be. And mothers, likewise. Our Heavenly Father is a great father. And he has children that go off. But let's be good fathers. Psalm 46, I'll end with this. God is our refuge. You think we need to hear that? He's the one that we run to. A lot of times we've got folk run into everything but God. The psalmist here says, he's my refuge. He's the one that I run inside. When the tornadoes are coming and the hurricanes are coming, I go run inside of him. I get lost in him. I hide in him. Why? Because that's where the safety is. But he's my strength. Not only is he my covering, he's my strength. A very present help in trouble. Notice the end of the second verse of that. Therefore will not we fear though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with a swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early. The heathen raised, the kingdoms were moved. He utters his voice, the earth melt. The Lord host, Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, the desolation he has made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariots in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. Young people, if you're 26 to about 13, that's your verse right there. Young people, y'all look at me. If you're always on the go, you can't see God. If you're always on the move, you can't hear God. If you're always on the move, you won't start to recognize him. Slow down. The psalmist says, be still. Old folk used to say, when storms come, get over in that corner and hush. That's what they used to say. Shh, be still. Could it be that we're talking too much to God but not listening to him? We listen to him when we read his word. We listen to him when we meditate upon his word. We listen to him when the word is preached. We listen to him when we like it and don't like it. We listen to him because he is right. All the time. He's always right. And no one of the psalmists can say, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. I said all of that to say this. With all of the chaos and unrest, we need some rest. Well, I'm not talking about going home and going to bed and getting the 8 hours of sleep. I'm talking about having a soul, a conscience, a will that is at ease because of God. May God bless you. May God keep you. If you're struggling, if you need special prayer, that's why we're here. I've said this before. I'll say it again. If the church is not the place where you can receive prayer and encouragement, where do you get it? Right here. And that's why some 15, 30, 45 minutes after services is over, people are still in here talking. Praying with one another, crying with one another, laughing with one another. Why? Here's the rest. Right here. I come out of that world of chaos and unrest, and I come here because I don't want to have to deal with that. Because when I leave here, I got to go deal with it. Yes. But right now, I don't want to rush to get out of this place. And I can't wait for 5 o'clock to come back. That's a good plug for some of y'all. So I can come and get some more rest today. If you're not a child of God, we want you. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And friends, he is. Confess Jesus Christ to be Lord. Be buried in water for the remission of your sins, and God will add you to his son's church. The same man that said, come unto me and I'll give you rest. The same man that said, blessed right, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. Yea, henceforth saith the Spirit, they shall rest. He's the same man that said that. He's the one that's going to calm the soul. He's the one that's going to gather the souls. Make sure your soul is the one that's calmed and gathered. Maybe a child of God, you need special prayer. Friends, don't leave here without you being prayed for. We all need prayer. We all need encouragement. Let's get that. Let's not leave discouraged. Let's leave encouraged as we continue to fight the good fight of faith, laying hold on eternal life, as we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.